are listening to episode number 216 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
When I was out onto the earth in a stream of guts, by Mother Nature, that green-eyed slut, I wasn't the first to get force from a cut. One to whom I still shall stay stuck. Staring from the cradle that my eyes take in, the baby speak of my brain dead kin, the goo-goo goggles reflecting the grin of a chub-faced alien. Well, if you think I'm being harsh, well, baby, keep on counting stars. 'Cause I hate everyone. I hate everyone. I hate everyone upon this cursed earth.
See, Kyle. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. I am your host, Ben, a.k.a. the Marvelous Iggy. Joining me from the man who knows who Tom fucking Brady is, Mr. Brian Powers. Brian, welcome back.
Yeah, Tom fucking Brady, kid. Tom Terrific. Love that guy.
Now, say you're walking down Boston and you see, for some reason, you see Tom Brady walking down the street and you act like your most stereotypical Bostonian, Bostonite? What do you call yourselves?
Bostonians. We're Bostonians.
Okay. Say you see Tom walking down the street from the grocery store. What do you say to him?
To be quite honest, it probably goes on to something just like this. Tom! That's about it.
That's it?
It's Brady! Yo, fucking Brady, kid! Number 12! Fuck the Jets! All that good stuff.
Speaking of John Cena, ladies and gentlemen, that is Taser. Taser, say hi.
I can't get that fucking theme song out of my damn head. Fuck you, Brian Powers. Damn it to hell.
Have y'all seen the image of, like, it's taking, like, it's doing the tit-tit, but it's adding Super Saiyan effects to John Cena?
Yes.
He has the...
Oh my God.
Yes. Literally Super Cena. But, hey, we are not a wrestling nor a football podcast, although I do want to do one of those things at some point. We are a Marvel podcast dedicated to all things Marvel-related, and trust me, we've covered literally everything. But for now... We're going to talk about the Jessica Jones trailer that literally drops in, what, 3 weeks? The official
Yeah, it starts in mid to late November, I think.
All 12 episodes. Oh, my God. It's going to be Daredevil over again. So,
yes, sir.
You've seen the trailer. I've just seen the trailer because for some reason I just avoid trailers recently. And I'm going to say this. I was always excited for the show. You know, like, you know, just because of the sheer quality on Daredevil, I was assured – that quality assurance kind of led me to believe that, but I didn't. Then they released like a 30-second teasers, and I didn't rewatch them because I'm like, this is kind of overload, and it kind of killed my interest just a little bit, and then so much so I didn't watch this new trailer. I'll watch this new trailer, and I'm thinking, you sold me. like, you have this very, I really want to see David Tennant. That's the guy who's playing Purple Man, right?
Yes, sir.
He's channeling that fucking creepiness that is, what's his first name? Something?
Zebediah? It's some real fucking out there.
The Purple
name.
Man, whatever. I mean, he's literally channeling the creepiness that is the Purple Man. I was expecting this to be like an origin story of Jessica's powers, but no, from the trailer in the get-go, she's maybe not been a superhero, but she's had powers, and she is, at this point we're seeing her, she's already been mentally, possibly physically, fucked up by the Purple Man, and this is her dealing with that trauma, and dealing with this on Luke Cage, giving that tender girl some loving. But I really like it, and I think in terms of, like, Netflix films, we already had, Kevin Doritos as the Kingpin. I think David Tennant is going to bring it up another level as the Purple Man.
Kevin Dorito.
Vincent D'Onofrio. Vincent Dorito.
Oh, my God.
That was fantastic. Kevin Doritos. Oh my god.
That sounds like
Kevin Doritos.
That sounds like an Xbox Live username for somebody. Kevin Doritos.
It really does. Like, he's a mascot for a campaign they got because they got a big game coming up, and they need to sell them Doritos. So here's your mascot, Kevin Dorito.
All right.
That is fantastic.
I'm excited. I am really excited. It comes out, I think, things like either the week before Thanksgiving or the week of, so I'll be watching plenty of that. It seems like one of those shows where, like, you want to – it's perfect for the wintertime because it has, like, that sort of cold feel to it. So I think it's going to be perfect. I'm looking for – my excitement level went through the roof. Taser, you talk.
About Kevin Dorito?
Kevin Dorito or whatever.
No. I'm like you. I happened to see the full trailer the other day, and everything that, you know, we've had up until now was, you know, teaser this, a little mention of something that – the one with the bar that just had her run through and kick everybody's ass, that was actually pretty well done. But this showed, you know, like a little touch of what, you know, the main crux for her story, what it will be all about, and, you know – knowing a little bit of what happened in the Aliens, because it's not like I read it. I just, you know, read the one where, you know, she got the old Taming of the Shrew from Luke Cage. I liked what I saw. You know, I was, oh, look, she's broken and dark and angry. And, hey, and they picked kind of the perfect chick for that. You know?
Yeah.
What's the name from?
The Bee in Apartment 23.
Yeah, they picked the perfect girl, and I've seen her in other stuff, and here she really plays it off pretty good. Mm-hmm. So,
sorry. Yeah, her name
is she the bitch in Apartment 23?
She is the Kristen Ritter. Yeah, she is the titular bitch in Apartment 23.
Man. And that was a funny show too, but I could see why.
That's the one with Vanderbeek, right? With Dawson.
Yes, that was the one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It was.
I always want to watch it because it did look funny.
It was, but you could kind of tell it wasn't going to work. It just kind of rang that. You know, it's hard to have a show where the main attraction is somebody who is a bitch, you know, and you're supposed to feel
not
for
everything
the
has to last forever.
Other one. So, exactly. That only lasted a season, though, so that kind of tells you something.
Oh, well.
Anyway,
better
but
for
yeah,
my viewing
but no,
time.
This looks good, and you said it was supposed to start in, like, 3 weeks?
Yeah, right around Thanksgiving time, either the week before or the week of. I think it's the week before Thanksgiving.
Okay. Well, hey, like I said, I'm sold. You know, I want to see what they do with this. Hopefully, we get some Taming of the Shrew.
Well, if that one shot of the trailer's indication, we will
Taming of that ass.
Yeah, that's the Shrew.
All right. Thanks, Brian. That was the joke.
Brian, what did you think of the Jessica Jones trailer?
Oh, God, I dig it, man, because, you know, it's one of those things where you're kind of like, okay, yeah, they're doing the seedy underbelly of Marvel, and it's dark and gritty, but in this particular case, you know, it's not fucking unjustified. She is a pretty fucked up individual. So, you know, to sort of have that to play off of and give her character motivation moving forward and to sort of have her overcome that, which I think is the crux of the series, will be fun to watch. But, you know, I'm not sure if it's something you want to, you know, gather the family and the kids around the Netflix queue on Thanksgiving Day and let's watch some Jessica Jones. And, you know, next thing you know, you're watching David Tennant just...
Ugh. You know what's funny? They're going to do some fucked up things in that show, but I guarantee you the thing people are going to bitch about more is the interracial shit.
Probably. There will undoubtedly be that voice. I mean, if you can boycott or attempt to boycott Star Wars, you can attempt to boycott.
Hold on real quick. Fuck you. You're a moron if you're part of that. You're a fucking moron. You're a fan of science fiction. You can't get over a black man being in lead. Fuck you. Just fuck you. I'm a person who really doesn't give a shit about color, but fuck you. Continue, Brian.
So, yeah, that, I mean, of course, there's always going to be that voice. But you know what? I'm really looking forward to this. And it seems like Luke Cage is going to be a major player in this series as well. So we'll get some bit of him before we start setting up the Luke Cage series to come. Because, you know, they've been mentioning how they were, you know, well, not mentioning, but rather Daredevil sort of stood alone. And now it looks like they're taking those first steps towards building the actual Defenders.
I wonder if Murdoch's going to show up at any point during the show.
I think he should, because I don't know if you caught it, but in the Marvel comics, they've been promoting some promotional art for the series.
Yeah, I've seen and, that, and it hurts my eyes to see Daredevil like that.
Yeah, fucking Maleev and ugh. God.
I mean, like the movie costume works. Not the movie costume. The TV costume works fine. TV, it doesn't look good in art. Like it just doesn't look good in art.
So, yeah, they did include a little bit about, I think it was her visiting somebody in the hospital who had been attacked by Daredevil. So, I'm not sure what her connection will be overall, but...
Well, Night Nurse is in the show, isn't she?
Yeah, she will be also in this one as well, so... And, for the record, actually, just so we can clear it up, it is Dr. Zebediah Kilgrave. If there ever was a supervillain name for their guy named Purple Man, that would definitely be it.
That's either that or Victor Von Doom.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, when you give a kid that name, you're kind of like, okay, he's going to be a supervillain, you know?
There's no Victor. There's only Doom.
There is no Zebediah. And, I mean, it's almost like he should have gone with Dr. Zebediah Kilgrave as a supervillain name as opposed
I'm just disappointed he's not purple.
Yeah. I mean, he's wearing a purple suit.
I wanted him to be purple. Yeah.
I agree with you that point.
To be fair, we don't see it. Maybe they'll do a little something like when his powers flare up, his skin tints purple or his eyes.
You could be right because I know in all the, like, the set, this is why I don't like looking at set images. Like, he's wearing a purple suit.
Yeah.
But, like, in the trailer, they don't show his face. Like, you kind of just allude to the back of his head.
But we do see him when he talks to that guy in the trailer. Yeah, you see the back of his, but you see kind of off to the side. You see his ears, you know, and nothing happens. So, you know, I'm just saying.
Hey, yeah, I know. I agree.
It's in post-production.
That, to me, is a nitpick, though. True. That, to me, I can live with that.
But you know, it's the same thing with me in costumes.
Exactly.
I like watching my heroes in costumes.
Yeah.
And, you know, Hollywood. No, we have to see
maybe
the
he'll get dumped in a vat of chemicals, like Batman 89.
Woohoo! Joker! Woo!
If I can just say one more thing, though, and this is a complete, total...
No, cut you off right here. I'm just kidding. Go on.
Okay, this is like if I was dying and I had one wish to be my Make-A-Wish thing, all right? If at any point we see, like... I don't think there was ever, like, a support group or anything she attended, Jessica Jones being that it is, but if they do... I want them to include Catherine Bishop, if only to get her foot in the door.
Who's that again?
Marvel Cinematic. She is Hawkeye, the better Hawkeye, or the female?
No, nobody wants her, no.
No, but listen, dude, over in the Young Avengers, I think it was the annual issue, they had a very nice moment between the two of them where they bonded over their mutual abuses and whatnot. So,
wait, Kate Bishop's an alcoholic? Was a former alcoholic?
No, she was a rape victim.
Oh, when you said yeah, when you
she got so good with a bow and arrow, she's like...
I didn't know she was a rape victim.
Yes, yeah. Well, it was in a very badly illustrated and kind of mediocre-ish written
Who?
Annual issue.
Kate Bishop, the other Hawkeye? Hawkeye 2?
Really?
Yeah, that's what I said. I didn't fucking know that. Maybe it's a good thing they
How long ago was this?
This was back right around the time when they first launched the Young Avengers miniseries. So way, way back in the day, like during that first 12-issue run with Jim Chung on the series.
Okay, yeah, I didn't read it, so. Yeah,
I read it, but I didn't. I don't remember.
Well, because it was a one-off annual issue, and it was a collection of their kind of origin stories and whatnot. And it shows Jessica Jones is the threat throughout, because they hire...
Yeah, she was a prominent in their book. She was like she was there when they were founded.
Talks to the kids. She's trying to talk them out of being hero using her own experiences as that sort of selling point.
Yeah.
And she runs into Kate Bishop, and Kate Bishop's like, "Yeah, that happened to me, and I'm still doing it." And she's like, "Oh, well, all right."
Yeah, but Jessica Jones wasn't raped though. She just got.
Well, she was mentally raped. She wasn't physically. I mean, that we
well,
know
let's
of.
Get okay, fine, but you know, rape is another thing entirely.
They never explicitly said, I think, what happened to her under the influence of the Purple Man. They just sort of left it in.
She was definitely psychologically abused.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But no, but if he had sexually touched her, they would have done that. They would, that, especially in a match, which would have been stated.
It's more alluded that he taunted her, he tortured her. It's like,
exactly, he used her. You know, I'm not arguing that, but what I'm saying is, like, rape is rape. There's just, you know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So, like, Kate Bishop, you know, if she says, oh, yeah, that happened to me too, it's like, but wait. So that's why I'm questioning, was she just abused or was she raped?
Yeah.
No, they actually show her literally being grabbed in the park by an abuser and being like,
yeah,
she's raped.
She got introduced to penis.
Okay. Oh, that's not cool.
All right, let's move on.
What?
Let's move on.
What? What happened? On.
All right, so we got a new omnibus being announced, and it's going to make me giddy.
I missed the bus.
Yes. This year,
missing the bus sucks. Missing the fucking bus. You know what? Missing the bus by a fucking second even sucks any much more.
Oh, when it's like...
And so you get there, like, no! And you got to wait another 30 minutes or 45 minutes to an hour if it's on a weekend.
Hey, that's what your headphones are for.
I know, but still, what if it's cold or raining or some creepy homeless dude?
You're not or, the MBTA podcast.
Or if you're in if you're my scenario and for some reason three gorgeous women look like they want to have a three-way with you and you say yes. But let's not talk about that right now.
Whoa.
Let's go on to
Whoa.
Let's talk about Stanley and Ditko's Doctor Strange on the bus that's officially happening.
That's it.
That's it. There's nothing. Did we get a date?
Senior VP David Gabriel has announced that Marvel is going to publish a Doctor Strange omnibus, a full color reprinting of the Doctor Strange comic books from Stan Lee and Steve Ditko's run on the book. No release date has been announced thus far. So, yeah, that's it. Well, I mean, I'm not going to buy it. I'm not. This is like ice. Because when we talked about Doctor Strange, you know, a couple weeks ago, we had mentioned that it was like his first ongoing series in like, what, 20 years, I think it was? And,
all right, stop talking. Let the real Doctor Strange fan talk right now. Okay. I'm going to buy this. I will, you know, I wish it wasn't an omnibus. I would rather, and maybe they will eventually when the movie comes out. I would rather they reprint them in, like, bigger soft covers or hard covers. I mean, omnibuses are nice, but I'm a person who likes to take their books with them. You know, I'm not a person who reads on iPads or does anything like that. So being able to hold a book and take it with me is important. And I don't know if anybody who's listening has ever seen an omnibus or, like, hold one. Those things are fucking bricks. I don't know how big the Doctor Strange omnibus is gonna be, but some of them you could kill a man if you dropped it or throw it at a certain angle.
How long was Ditko and Stanley's run on the issue? I mean, I'll look it up.
I don't fucking know off the top of my head.
Fine, real Doctor Strange fan, I'll go look it up.
But I'll probably buy it anyways. I own two omnibuses, and I own several omnibuses, but I'm going to talk about two, at least Marvel-related ones. The only two Marvel-related ones I own. I have the Daredevil ones, but I don't know where they're at right now. I own Chris Claremont and John Byrne's Uncanny X-Men run. I own those two. That collects their entire run, so that's awesome. But I'll buy this one too because it's the original. Can't go wrong with the original. Taser, you going to buy this? Are you going to pirate it? You can do.
I might look at the first issue.
I mean, this is it's reprinting the whole series.
Then no, not touching it at all. Not at all. No.
Oh well, they're really. I'll bet it'll probably come out either by the summer or definitely before the movie comes out. It'll probably come around if I was to wager anything, the Doctor Strange omnibus will probably come out when the movie comes out, or at least like a month before.
Yeah.
You know what sucks about omnibuses is that once they go out of stock, they stay out of stock for a while until they get a reprint, if they get a reprint. So I'm gonna have to pre-order this shit and pay. I'm going to pay, and I will like it. Take my money. All right. We got one more thing, don't we?
A bunch of solicits and stuff coming out of Marvel's camp.
We got new ongoings, including an Iron Man book that I didn't want until I saw who the artist was.
Oh God!
Hey,
okay.
Man. Hey, Alex.
Hey, man.
Alex Maleev is freaking. Okay, whatever. I'll stop.
Whatever. So, yes, they've recently announced a slew of new comic books, and these are the sort of highlights of that. First down the pipeline, as Ben mentioned, Alex Maleev will be teaming up with frequent collaborator Brian Michael Bendis to bring you International Iron Man. Yes.
I was thinking James Bond when I fucking saw that cover. Because it's a wealthy white dude surrounded by gorgeous women.
I was thinking Batman Inc., but I guess that works too. So
yeah, that's what I was thinking.
No, I thought that second, but I couldn't help but think of like, oh, so he's James Bond now.
Yeah,
with armor.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're just talking
Man.
About
it's basically... International Man, Iron Man, International Man of Mystery. There you go.
Snore.
Anywho, so it's basically just going to be a second Iron Man series. Nothing really distinguishing about it, at least not as far as I can tell from the solicit they gave. It's basically going to be delving into the whole thing that happened where Tony found out he wasn't actually born. He was adopted and slash created with alien technology and such, so they're going to be delving into that a little bit. And also they're teasing Doctor Doom will continue to be a part of Tony's life in this title. Also, just to add to Ben's giddiness, Frank Castle's coming back with a brand new series.
Woohoo!
Writer Becky Cloonan and artist Steve Dillon.
Yes!
Oh, God.
Fuck, you know what? You and Wes can go suck my taint, because Steve Dillon is an amazing artist.
I would watch that.
I'll record it on YouTube. I'll get a million hits. I can't make money off of it, but I will fucking upload it. Look, you and Wes cannot appreciate what Steve Dillon does, okay? You fuckers go read Preacher and understand what that man does so great, okay? Just do it.
Hey, everybody gets one series where their work doesn't suck completely.
His work doesn't suck. His work is amazing. What are you talking about?
I disagree. But then again, we agree.
Well, you are wrong, newsboy.
Fine. Whatever. Anyway,
they're
pimping out the Punisher is going to basically be Jason Voorhees coming after the bad guys.
So he's here. They're doing what Punisher is the best. He's a fucking force of nature. I already love it.
Pretty much.
I can't wait for it.
And also, out of the announcement of Supreme Power that will launch in December, we have Nighthawk and Hyperion will both be getting their print.
Wait, is it the Max Hype Nighthawk?
It's the Kyle Richmond Nighthawk. The basically, he's Bruce Wayne, the analog.
So it's not an all angry racist black man?
No, no. This will be a young, sleek billionaire who trains his body to fight crime. This one will be set in...
So I automatically do not give a fuck. I just don't, because if I want to read a book about those people... I mean, it's not the same book, technically. It's the same, using the same type of characters, but I'd rather read the Max one, honestly. I'd rather they have relaunched that and done more with that, you know? At least, Marvel, reprint those. I'll buy them. I'll buy 10,000. Okay, maybe not 10,000. But I will buy them. I will buy those collections.
Yeah, so Nighthawk and Hyperion both announced in their own solo ongoing series.
Wait. Why a Nighthawk ongoing?
Because they think it could be a good series. I don't know. Why the fuck? Everyone's getting a new ongoing series.
You get an ongoing.
Get an ongoing!
You know, it's basically what it's come down to.
You're canceled in 6 months.
Oh, don't be that guy.
I'm being that guy because it's going to be a realistic. Not all these series are going to make it, you know? Even no matter how good they are.
Yeah, so, I mean... the Hyperion one in particular kind of sounds like a little backtracking to me, because it's basically him trying to just figure out who he is, but we got all that over in fucking Hickman's Avengers.
No, because this is a reboot.
Oh, well, excuse me. And finally, in 2016, Marvel will launch X-Men, worst X-Men ever.
All right, what is this? Is this a comedy series?
Oh, God, how do I put it? It tells the story of one Bailey Hoskins, our main character, who fears that he may be the worst X-Man ever. And it is written by Max Bemis, who, note, is not an actual comic book writer. He's a musician, actually. He is the lead singer of the band Say Anything. That is who this guy is. He's not a comic book writer by trade.
All right, I don't care about this. maybe it'll be a fun comedy series.
It feels like it's going to be a kid's book, because they're pulling from all eras with X-Men. They don't really have any sense of continuity. So I think it will be sort of like a children's take on that. So, yeah, it's in a, quote, a new standalone universe described as, quote, best of, end quote, X-Men continuity. So, yeah.
Taser, are you still with us?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just care.
Yeah, you just yeah.
Yeah,
there's a slew of announcements. I'll doubt the only one out of all of them, honestly, that interests me in terms of just character alone is Punisher, because I'm a sucker for the man with guns. I'm a sucker for Frank Castle. I love the Punisher. I love.
Hear that, Texans? This man will suck your guns. Wait, what?
No, I personally think I personally think Texans could use less guns, because Lord knows we still need that fucking stairs.
I don't think that you're gonna die tonight.
We need it for the wall. For the wall.
Those Mexicans, they're coming over and they're kicking our jobs, even though the federal government sponsored, you know, them to come over to the country way back in the day.
There's probably a mariachi version of that song, too.
Yeah.
You know what? It would be funny as hell to find one of his speeches and see it in Spanish and somebody make a meme out of it. That would
Which
be
one? Who?
Anything with Trump in okay. Spanish as a meme.
Have you and seen... Well, George Lopez, I don't know if you saw it, but George Lopez basically did the Mexican Trump.
What's the Mexican Trump?
He's basically acting like Donald Trump, but in Mexico, and why he's running for president of Mexico. And he's basically acting like Donald Trump if he was in Mexico. It's pretty fucking funny.
So let me guess. He hires nothing but women because...
Well, no, it's just an interview. It's just an interview. Like, he has the hair, and he basically talks like he's Trump, but in
Spanish. Does he creepily talk about how he would have sex with his daughter if he wasn't related to her?
No.
Did he say that?
Yeah.
Donald Trump does talk like that, dude. He's like, yeah, if I wasn't related to her...
Have you heard his... Okay, this is the Donald Trump segment. Apparently, like, there was a quote where, like, he came from nothing. My dad only gave me a small loan of $1 million.
Yeah, I saw that.
Fuck you. Just fuck Donald Trump, man. The faster he gets out of this fucking race, the better the American people have politics. But you didn't sign up for politics. You signed up for comic books. And so we're going to talk about comic books with our book of the week, which is surprisingly Karnak? Yes, Karnak number one, the philosophical badass, written
Not
by...
Not Ant-Man one, as was posted.
Whatever, I didn't know we were all going to fucking read Karnak.
I did officially name it in the description for next week's book of the week, so don't get up my ass.
So we have Karnak, written by Warren Ellis, art by Gerardo Zaffino, colored by renowned author Dan Brown. Yes. Yeah, it's Dan Brown.
It's the Karnak Code.
Fucking love those books. So basically, we have... I'm going to say this in one word that sums up what I thought of the issue. And this is the title of the episode. Philosophical Badass. Karnak, at least the way Ellis has him... I've never read Karnak before. Taser, because you're old. Have you had any experience with Karnak before?
Well, back in my day, Karnak used to wear a costume. And he didn't have his own title. He would battle around with the other Inhumans.
No, I know about some of the stuff the changes that they tweaked to him, like the whole, the tattoos and shit like that. And then, you know, Attilan left the moon because King of War of Kings and all that other shit. War of Kings wasn't bad.
I enjoyed it, but it was an ordeal to slog through. Just, you know,
it was fun because that was Marvel Spacey, and I love Marvel Spacey. Oh, Marvel Cosmic, give me Marvel Cosmic.
Marvel Cosmic's always nice.
You know, and the conflict resolution to that was like, holy shit.
Okay, but what about Karnak number one?
What I'm saying is, I didn't know anything about him dying, you know, because I found this out here, and I'm, wait, what? You know? And when he comes back, he's all like, I've been to the other side, and I have other things, and, you know, my mind is open up, and blah, 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 blah. And I could care less about that. It seemed to be more moody character bullshit. Which, you know me, I don't really care a whole lot for moody character. I don't care for a whole lot of character shit. And this seemed like it was going to have a whole lot of it.
Just so, blow shit up for Taser and he'll be fine.
Well, no, it's just that it. While I get your love for a Midnighter, yeah, yay, Midnighter. Cool, because, you know, Midnighter's actually a very simple character. This seems like complexity upon complexity.
Well, that's what I said. He's Midnighter, but he's more... That's why I called him the philosophical badass.
Exactly. And I don't subscribe to anything or even felt like it was interesting enough anything that he was talking about. As a matter of fact, it kind of put me off. You know, I finished the book because I needed to finish the book, but yeah, this was a one and done for me. It really was. Nods for them bringing in Coulson and Simmons.
Yeah, boy.
Wearing shades and a parka, so it's not like you can really see her face. And the art was a bit abstracted and like a slash painted or whatever. So it was a bit hard. You know, the art was hard, so it wasn't clean lines and easily detailed faces and whatever the fuck. I mean, even Coulson didn't look like I'd seen Coulson in other books. So, you know, I don't know that. It was nice to see some cameos, but like I said, the new riff that they're doing with Karnak here, that just totally threw me off. I won't be picking it up again. Decent. It was offered well, but yeah, I have no interest in drinking the tea again. So yeah, I'll just give it two warriors out of five, and no thank you, no more, no mas.
Well, I thought I loved. I know I sound like I love Karnak. I loved it. I didn't really love it. I really, really enjoyed it. I didn't. You know, the only part I really didn't enjoy was the fucking Phil Coulson and Simmons intro. Like, you know. I feel like Warren Ellis usually doesn't play well with others. He has a history with that shit. And I feel like that to me just felt the most odd points to include characters from the TV show. I know they have their own comic book series now, and they're technically part of the Marvel Universe now, but that doesn't matter to me. I just cringe. I'm like, why are you here? Why are you here? Like, because I really enjoyed like seeing this basically this monk like warrior character. You know, deal with shit, and I found it interesting. I don't know how long. Only reason I picked this up because I know Ellis never sticks around forever. Usually he's six issues and out. He never, unless it's his own thing, he never stays around forever. So I'll probably read this for a little as long as Ellis is on it and see where he goes with it. I thought it was interesting enough. I just don't want any more Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. crossover because you know. You don't even do anything with the movies. You're not. Don't try to shoot them into the comic books, please. Just keep them the fuck out. It just feels weird because like they have a history, but then you've never had a history because you were never referenced. Whatever the fuck. I think it was a decent start. I thought the art really reminded me of Alex Maleev. Maybe Brian can agree with me on that one, or not.
I didn't get Alex Maleev. Believe it or not, I got a less polished JRJR out of the vibe.
No,
believe
it or not. No.
Yeah, there was a JRJR vibe there, and it was less polished, a little more front on the edge, but it was definitely there, less blockish.
I don't see JRJR at all.
I see him in some instances.
Maybe, no, I'm sorry.
To each his own, man, but I distinctly got JRJR off of this, so.
Well, okay, well, what did you think of Karnak number one, then, besides the art?
I dug it. I know. I'm usually down for anything that's a little bit outside of the usual superhero fare. So to have this issue.
Definitely this. Yeah.
Yeah. It definitely fits the bill. And I can definitely see what you were saying about that not playing all those, because I'm pretty sure Karnak insults Coulson at least three times throughout the course of this issue, or at least S.H.I.E.L.D. in general.
He did.
He just keeps insulting them to their faces, and Coulson just sits there and takes it, and I'm just like, real Coulson wouldn't play that shit.
Well, now, but, you know, if I might interject for a bit.
No, yeah, of course.
One of the things that actually kind of disconcerted me was Karnak's a real speciesist in this, you know? Points out, he kind of reminds Coulson that you humans, you know, you lower, you this, you that. It was kind of like dealing with Magneto. You know, that's something else that I just couldn't, you know, I can't warm up to somebody like that. So, you know, somebody who kind of looks upon other people, like a large segment of people, with disdain. Yeah, that's not my cup of tea.
That's where we differ, because actually I enjoyed the recent Magneto series that Cullen Bunn authored, and I enjoyed this issue, but
okay.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the art kind of gave me a distinct, less blockish, less polished vibe of JRJR, and of course Ben disagrees with that, but yeah, Karnak comes off as something of an asshole in this issue, which, you know, it's a little bit different than the Karnak you kind of used to see. He used to always be, you know, as he says to Coulson, he says Coulson's always cleverly respectful. That was sort of Karnak's dig back in the day, back when he was working with the Inhuman Courts and all that, you know. He would give advice, and he would voice, you know, he would, like, hide his opinions and shit, but you know how that royal family shit works. And that being said, you know, like, Warren Ellis doesn't stick around. I think, you know, the last thing he did for Marvel was Moon Knight, and that was 6 issues he agreed to, and then he was out. So
he's never done things for, at least with Marvel, he hasn't done anything DC in a long time. He never sticks around forever.
Yeah, I know. And he's also very hit or miss. Like, it's kind of odd in that I like more of his big two work than I do his independent work, which I know is kind of like almost like an oxymoron because everyone thinks he's the shit in independent circuits and whatnot, but I dig his industry stuff more than I do his independent work, and so I really did just sort of enjoy this issue. It was different than the other stuff I'm reading right now, and I'll definitely stick around for issue two or however long Ellis is on the book for. But that being said, Karnak's so fucking pretentious in this book. I mean, oh my god. He's like, he's that seventh year philosophy major at college with the neck beard who thinks, like, the whole system is a scam, man, and fuck you, because you're the man and shit. You know, he thinks he's superior, and in certain ways he is. You know, I don't doubt that. I mean, the last issue is him literally decking 3 dudes at once, so, you know, he's got skills. But he just comes off as such a fucking prick. But at the same time, Warren Ellis writes a pretty decent prick, which makes me think maybe he's a bit of a prick himself.
All his characters.
He's a Brit, so that makes sense.
Well, he's Scottish, actually.
Same thing.
Yeah, say that to a Scottish person, see what happens.
Yeah, and they would go, oh, exactly.
Nathan McCora. No, wait, that's Irish.
Kush McCree.
They can take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
I'll hit you with my shillelagh.
Shillelagh's Irish, too.
Same thing.
Is that like a club, right? That's a club.
Yeah, it's like a billy club type thing. But
I thought it was a sandwich.
That sounds like a delicious sandwich.
Yeah.
Maybe it is. I don't know if someone called it that. But
welcome to the Ireland home of the shillelagh sandwich. How can I help you?
Yeah, right. Somebody the sandwich.
I'm not gonna lie, that sounds like a delicious. It's like when you hear, oh, Ireland, I love you.
You should do Subway advertisements like
no,
that.
No, I don't wanna do advertisements for a company that supported
it's
the pedophile
not,
for
it's
years.
It's not a sandwich, but if you ask for a shillelagh sandwich, someone just
hold
make
on, it. Brian, I'm talking. I don't wanna do advertisements for a company that supported the pedophile for years.
I didn't know that shit. Come on, man.
No, hold on. Are you telling me you wouldn't go and ask for the Jared special?
God damn it.
Let's move on. Let's move on.
I never know which one.
Year old
top of the morning to you, lad. Let's move on.
Oh!
Let's move on.
Jesus Christ. So, I enjoyed it. Like I said, Karnak came off as a bit of a prick, but at the same time, he's a very well-written prick, so I enjoy him. His take of the wheel. I'll be around for issue number 2, and I'll give it a 3.5 out of 5. It was solid stuff. But if you're not a fan of Karnak, which I don't know how many fans there are of Karnak.
What fans? There were no fans.
You're mostly here for Warren Ellis.
Yeah,
but
exactly. If you're a Warren Ellis fan, I would check it out.
If you are, if not, I could just easily pass this one because this book won't. This probably won't survive past Ellis's run on the issue. Anyway.
Or just wait for the 6-issue collection trade. You know,
yeah, no
whatever
shit.
Floats your boat. All right, let's move on to my review of the astonishing Ant-Man. Is it Ant-Man?
Not astonishing. Lame.
I'm not going to lie. This first issue in comparison to the first issue, while funny, it was not as good as the first one. Although I did like that some robbers were actually Miami strip teasers, which I thought was pretty fucking funny. This issue sort of gives you like a recap of what's been happening, what's the deal, which it's kind of annoying for me because I'm like, yeah, I fucking know that already. The book only wrapped up a month ago. It was a lot of wrap-up. I don't like, not Darren Cross, Augustine Cross. He is legit bitch. Like, he is legit daddy's boy.
Wow,
he even calls
legit?
Him
daddy.
He even
daddy,
calls him daddy, and he's daddy. A grown-ass man. I'm like, you know, come on. So we're
he would make more sense if he was a daughter.
Yeah, but not like full-grown man. It's just weird. It's weird. Also, Darren Cross appears to have a problem because he can't control his shrinking or growing. Go to your doctor. It happens to one out of three men. Have it every day. It's a little pill he can help you with. So nobody can appreciate my Viagra joke. It's right there. God damn it. Maybe that's what the joke is.
It's a bad joke.
It's whatever. It's fine. So because, you know, we're becoming the age where everything is modern now, we're introduced to this new character called the Power Broker, where he's created basically an app called the Hench app, which allows you to hire a henchman what you're fighting against, location, power set, and, you know, who they fought in the past. Enter Whirlwind. So Whirlwind is hired to fight Ant-Man, you know, considering he's an ant, he's a whirlwind, a mismatch for Ant-Man. And right before Ant-Man is about to be sliced by Whirlwind, he's a mutant, right?
Whirlwind, yeah. He was that twisty guy in the fucking First Class movie.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie, where he goes, canceled? What was I about to? Oh, three new followers. Which I'm like, that was the one part that I thought was weird. Where like,
and that's the part that actually killed it for me.
Really? It nearly killed it for me too, because I'm just like, okay, you know, I understand, like, you know, you want to bring, the more modernistic things to comics, and that's fine, but I don't feel like a supervillain should be going, like, if Scott had done that, because I feel like that's more something like Scott would do, because he's a goofy bastard, versus like Whirlwind, just it just feels out of place. I don't know.
Well, it's like, I mean, like, the people I could see doing that are like the Superior Foes type lot, you know? Like,
yeah, but I mean, Whirlwind, at least based on the cover, he's going to be a returning character, because it's the Bear, no instance of Beetle, who he was sleeping with at the end of the
also
last year.
Also one of the Superior Foes.
Yeah, and this is basically a continuation of Superior Foes in terms of...
With
Ant-Man. I mean, it's basically... Like, I've read Superior Foes. It's basically a continuation, at least of tone. But I just... I don't know. And somehow Scott's in jail again, but we get no explanation, so that looks like that's just going to be the first arc. It's not as off to a strong start, but there's enough... It's consistent enough in the previous series that that I liked enough I'll continue reading it, because I really, like, throughout this first half of 2015, I really liked Ant-Man. I really enjoyed it. It was nice to actually get a comedy book out of Marvel every now and then. You know, there's nothing wrong with superheroes, but I want a little bit more flavor, and Ant-Man certainly provides that, and his sort of, like, just his kind of idiocy. He's kind of an idiot, but he's a thoughtful idiot, so you're okay with it.
Yeah, he's like
he's a lovable loser
from the movie.
He's a lovable loser, yeah.
Scott Lang is not normally like that, though. I disagree with you.
Well, the Scott Lang in this series,
yes.
Including the one that started in January this year, he's been this lovable loser character.
Yeah, that's because of the movie.
Before 6 months before the movie even came out.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, you think they haven't all tied this shit together? Like, they haven't been doing that since...
And to me, that's fine. I enjoyed I enjoyed this Scott Lang, and I've enjoyed Scott Lang in the past when he was part of the Avengers, who more so had just, like, arguments with not Jack Flag. That's another character. Jack of Hearts.
I think you're thinking of Suicide Squad.
exactly. Jack of Hearts, who basically feuded with Jack of Hearts and had problems with his wife, who's a real bitch.
Judy Greer plays her good in the movie, but everywhere else, she is just a cold-blooded bitch.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, I like this lovable loser approach to Scott. I find it endearing. You know, it's fine with me. I give it a 3 out of 5. Not as strong as the first volume, but... This should have just been Ant-Man number 7, not a new number 1. It really should have just been Ant-Man number 7. I don't. Whatever. Taser, did you have a book? What if Infinity, right?
Well, I'll say this. Yeah, I didn't care too much for this book because it seemed more... Well, okay, comedy, yeah, I can kind of go for it, like lighthearted, but I've also read a lot of Marvel where it's the whole, I'm trying to start up a new business and I'm, you know, trying to cash in on some stuff and, you know, hey, I'm working with an old superhero here, so we kind of got that thing going on and oh no, wacky adventure, you know, shit just doesn't work out for me.
Wackiness ensue.
Exactly, even though I'm, and then it's the guy who's fucking my ex-wife happens to be at the side of somebody I'm trying to deal with, and he starts tanking my ability to make, you know, make headway, you know, and I'm just looking at this, and this is a fucking sitcom, you know, I wanted to roll my eyes, but I swear to you, like I said earlier, that bit where after the fight, when Whirlwind's got him on the ropes, okay, yeah, he's told to, like, let him live, okay, but then it's like, boop, oh, I have 3 new followers, cool. So at no point does Scott Lang go, that motherfucker just tried to kill me. I need to go stop him. He goes, oh, thank God. He's gone. I'm saved. This is like watching Flash. You know, hey, I'm Captain Cold. I just fucked you up because this is the things that I do. And I'm going to walk away now. So in 2 seconds, when you defreeze and you're back to normal, you won't bother coming after me because of reasons. That was that, you know, I just, that part right there with the followers killed this book for me. And granted, I didn't have a whole lot of hope for it beforehand, but this is too much Scott Lang and not enough Ant-Man. So I'll give this a 1.5 Warriors out of 5, and I will wipe my hands of it.
But what did you think of Lego, not Lego, of Infinity?
Lego Infinity? I haven't seen that one yet.
Didn't you want to review your book, What If Infinity Guardians of the Galaxy? Do it!
Review your book, monkey!
Yeah. Watch out, I'll go super saying on you. The moon is out, so I can do it.
Freaking grinder. The Oregon just needs someone.
Fucking songs are stuck in my head. I'll be reviewing What If Infinity number 1, Guardians of the Galaxy. This was another comedy book. Even more so than the other two, although this has the benefit of not having to deal with the day-to-day lives of characters. Who gives a fuck? Basically, this whole thing is a story told by Rocket, where what if Rocket Raccoon was awesome and pwned Iron Man and then the Avengers? Huzzah! Look at my penis. Rocket goes into this bar and he meets a couple of yokels are like, whoa, it's Rocket. I haven't seen him for a long time. Yeah, you know, Rocket Raccoon's in his house. Like, okay. And he proceeds to tell this story where basically during Infinity, when Thanos was beaten and he was being held captive in the cube, well, the Illuminati had him. And the Guardians of the Galaxy, they found out because they installed a camera in Iron Man's armor somehow.
Sure.
Somehow he didn't know about it, you know. And while he was doing stuff on Earth, you know, they were tuned in and watching it like it was TV. And they happened to see, you know, Thanos frozen in like a block of amber or carbonite or whatever the fuck that thing was. And they're like, what? Thanos? Oh, this just became not funny.
Wow.
Yeah, he frozen in that big ass
block. Why are
block.
They doing what ifs to an event that's 2 years old is what I still ask.
Because Infinity was important, damn it. They want you to know it. They want to know it.
Just reprint. Just fucking do a new. Whatever. It's so. Whatever. It annoys me to see, like, why is this a thing? This should have come out, like, a. Whatever. It's fine. We're going to get what if Axis next year. Watch.
Oh, Jesus.
Actually, I wouldn't be...
I'm surprised we didn't get What If A versus X.
No, they did What If A versus X, didn't they?
They did?
No, they did Plus X, which was the big deal.
I'm pretty sure they did a What If A... Whatever.
I don't think they did
it. A versus
X. Anyway. So, yeah. They went and they found Iron Man on Earth. Gamora kicks his ass, takes the armor. They reverse engineer it to act like a suit of armor for Rocket. He calls all the other Illuminati members for, because somehow he knew who they were. And they all show up. They go to the Necropolis. They find Thanos. He, you know, blasts them about, even though, you know, they're not taken out. And they're just like, hey, what's going on, Tony? And, he, you know, Wreck-It reveals himself. And then he calls in the other Guardians. And, you know, they fight. And then, you know, it's kind of like, him describing that fight was funny, you know, because he goes, you know, by character and like, he goes by, you know, their catchphrases, you know, so to speak. And for, like, Reed, he has
I'm the cream smarts. Of the crop, brother. What you get?
No,
those kind of catchphrases?
Not even. No, it's not even that. It's just smarts. And what was it? Tony Stark says, I have daddy issues. And Gamora says, I also have daddy issues. It was all just one-liners like this. Freaking Drax was, grrr! You know, Groot was, I am Groot. You know, that kind of shit. So that was, like, mostly a stalemate, but then they called in, what was it, Beta Ray Bill and Gladiator and that group, and for whatever reason, fucking Annihilus showed up. I don't know what the fuck was going on there. But they showed up because Rocket freed Thanos, because they wanted to kill him. And the Earthers fucked up by keeping him quiet and, you know, not letting them kill him. And that's when the reinforcements showed up. And apparently they killed him. They didn't show us the fight. Yeah. And because they didn't tell the Illuminati didn't tell the rest of the planet that they had Thanos, Peter Quill went and laid a commandment on Earth that if any of them left Earth, that they would be destroyed. Because I'm Peter Quill, and I'm Prince or King of the Galaxy, so fuck you, do what I say, or else die. And that's why Rocket Raccoon will always follow Peter Quill, because he's the man. Yeah, it went like that.
Cool.
Yeah, it went like that. This was not a serious book.
Can I carry your books home from school?
It was more like, can I carry your balls and polish them for me? You know, washing, scrubbing and rinsing. It was not a serious book. It was all done in that whole Rocket Raccoon vein where it's decidedly abstracted in its realism. But it was definitely, since it was like obviously funny, I could feel comforted knowing that, yeah, this is okay. This is, well, and it's a what if, so fine, fuck it, whatever. I had no problem. I like this more so than I like the other two books. So I would give this probably a 3.6 Warriors out of 5. You know, if you're looking for something that doesn't take itself seriously, then this was a book for you. If you want seriousness, do not touch this book. Not at all.
Because comic books are serious business.
Nowadays, yeah.
All right, Brian, close us home with some filthy Inhumans.
He fell asleep.
You fucking kidding me, you know. I come here every day, you know, to talk about the Inhumans. We talk shit about the Inhumans. And this guy right here.
This guy over here.
This guy over here. You think I'm a clown? You think I'm a fucking clown? You think I'm here to amuse you? I'm here to amuse you? You think, how am I funny? Funny how? Like I'm a clown?
I'm no, over
he,
here now.
He's a, no, Tate, he's a big man. Can you explain what he says? How am I funny? Funny how? Now, Brian, you have to understand. I'm not here to fucking amuse you. Review your damn book. You'd be sleeping with the fishes.
You got it, boss.
Which way did he go, so... boss? Which way did he go?
Oh, I'll get him, boss. I'll get him.
Oh, shucks, boss. I don't know. I don't know if I can do this. Can we just talk about classic Looney Tunes? Whatever. Move it. Move on. Looney Tunes podcast.
For those of you who don't know, this is a direct continuation of the story in Uncanny Inhumans number 0, which came out a while ago. Oh, God. The Zero
Edition
came out, I think, before Secret Wars
in
happened.
In April.
Yeah, April. Yeah. And in that issue, you learned that in order to protect, in order for Black Bolt to protect his and Medusa's son, Uhura, from, yes, his name is Uhura, from the cataclysm that came to the Marvel Universe that become, what?
Is there going to be a communications director on the Enterprise?
It's with an A, A-H-U-R-A.
Okay,
so,
don't get smart with me.
I'm not, well, I am smart, but I'm not getting smart with you, you know. Anyway, so, in order for Black Bolt to protect his son, fuck, see what you do when you fuck up my stream of consciousness here? Black Bolt and Medusa have a son, Uhura, and in order to protect him from the cataclysm that came to be known as Secret Wars, basically, Black Bolt traded away his son to Kang the Conqueror in order to protect him. If that makes no sense, that's because it really wasn't.
Because
all that
that's
sensible.
A fucking bright idea.
Yeah.
Hey, Kang, you got a minute? Once you watch my son, okay? I'll be right back.
And it wasn't like it was.
By the way, Black Bolt is totally not.
This wasn't some, you know.
I'm sorry.
He doesn't. Yeah. God damn it. Shut up, Ben. Anyway, so he traded away his son in perpetuity, forever. He can never come back for his son. Of course, Black Bolt doesn't con to that, and so he takes a team consisting of himself, Triton, and the Reader, who you may have recognized as the blind dude from that second season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and they go on an adventure to try and rescue Uhura. Unfortunately,
the one that Matt kills?
Yes. Or technically Fitz killed him, but yeah.
Whatever. Science, biatch.
Science, biatch! Yeah, so unfortunately, Kang the Conqueror is actually something of a competent badass in this issue, and he caught on to them way before they even realized it. And so what he does was he takes them to 1961 in October in the Arctic Ocean, where the Soviets are about to drop a large hydron bomb as a test. And he puts them right there,
wait,
and he's like,
"You mean hydrogen?
Yeah. What did I say?
Hydron, John. Exactly like that, yes. Continue, Brian.
Oh, God. This is all your fault for your constant interruptions.
Hey, man, I'm not the one who made me do a Joe Pesci impersonation. Suck it. Do it.
No one made you do that! Anyway, God damn it, I'm never going to get through this fucking book! You're just going to keep it never mind. Anyway. Kang the Conqueror is something of a competent guy in this series. You know, his competency is hit or miss, depending on the issue. And he catches wind of Black Bolt's scheme before he even gets to enact his plan. And he drops them in the middle of the Arctic Ocean on an island where the Soviets are testing a hydrogen bomb. And shit's about to get bad for them. Because not only that, but because Kang is a guy who believes in overkill, he also drops in some World War I trench warfare soldiers and a couple of velociraptors for good measure. Because, you know, like I said, he's a believer in overkill. Meanwhile, in Central Park, Medusa
leads... Meanwhile, at the Legion of Doom, Lex Luthor plans the office party.
Meanwhile, at the Skyspear, located in New York's scenic Central Park, Medusa leads a team of Inhumans against a scourge unknown. There we meet the fellow Inhuman heroes known as Flint, Iso, Inferno, and Grid. We don't know who any of them are, unless you read that fucking Inhumanity series, which nobody did. And, yeah. I think it's funny the comparisons they're drawing between Medusa and, or rather the Inhumans and the X-Men, because Medusa goes over as, like, she's the most popular bitch in school. She's like, everyone loves her, okay? She's invited to state dinners, and she wants to be on talk shows, and everyone loves Medusa, despite the fact that they're supposed to be hated and feared like the X-Men, but they're not. So, you know, fuck all. They go back to New Adelan after preventing some catastrophe. And guess what? Hank McCoy's there. He's taking a residency at New Adelan, basically trying to figure out something. I honestly don't know what.
Does he actually say Garters?
Unfortunately, no. But he does mention Cyclops and how much he hates him, so par for the course there.
So Cyclops is alive.
He is nothing if not consistent. Not really. I mean, it's really kind of ambiguous. This is the quote exactly. quote, Summers wasn't my friend, not for a long time. He thought you were stealing his planet. His friends still do. It's just a matter of time before they try to take it back, end quote. That's all we get as to what Cyclops is
alive. Okay.
It's a coin toss at this point. So he's researching, I'm assuming, the effects of teratogenesis on mutants, but it's left unclear. And we get a bit more of the incident with Black Bolt and Kang, and they sort of figure out a way out, but this team quickly realizes that they are vastly outmatched against Kang the Conqueror, and they don't know how they're going to rescue Black Bolt's son when Kang has all of time to play with. So, ultimately, out of options, Black Bolt does the one thing he knows he probably shouldn't do, and he goes to talk to his wife Medusa, who, if you've been reading, you know that Medusa hates his guts for various reasons, like trading his son away to Kang the Conqueror without consulting her first. You know, that old chestnut. When mom and dad got into a tiff over trading away the son. When was it? It was, well, the actual trading away of Uhura was in the Uncanny Inhumans number 0 issue. But him and Medusa...
Did he do the fan dance to get away?
Him and Medusa apparently have been tense for some time. Like I said, it happened in that Inhumanity stuff. I didn't read that shit, so I don't know all the details exactly, but I do know that something akin to Medusa thinks Black Bolt was being wildly irresponsible with his role as King.
So why is Medusa sleeping with Johnny Storm?
Shits and giggles? I don't fucking know. But you couldn't have picked that one perfectly, because right as Medusa is consulting with her assistant, Johnny Storm shows up! And it turns out... Human Torch! Basically, he's been appointed... Johnny Storm is the appointed middleman between the people, the humans of New York, I should say, and New Adelan. He's like their emissary, their ambassador. And officially, that's his role. Unofficially, he shows up and starts macking on Medusa almost instantly, which is just when Black Bolt shows up. Which I think is hilarious, because he clearly had no idea.
So Black Bolt just, like, fuck you, and just blew his head
off. When he shows up, you see his little tuning fork sparking like nuts, like he's about to blow Johnny Storm halfway into next week, right? And what I think is hilarious is Johnny's like, whoa, okay, Black Bolt, listen. She is your wife, and I would never do it intentionally in front of you, okay? And it's not what it looks like. He literally says it's not what it looks like.
Exactly what it looks like, Johnny.
No. And then Medusa looks at him and goes, no, it's exactly what it looks like. She looks him dead in the eye and just says, yeah, it's exactly what it looks like. Basically giving Black Bolt the big fuck you, which I think is fucking hilarious. And there's some backup feature about Gorgon or some shit like that. I don't know. It's used to set up a whole bunch of other Inhuman stuff, but it's really not all that interesting. At least I didn't think it was. Not worth noting. It was okay. Not a whole hell of a lot happened in this issue. But, you know, Charles Soule and Steve McNiven...
Soule, I've told you this. It's Soule.
Well, I read it Soule, so fuck
but
you.
But I told you that's not how it's pronounced, weirdo.
I don't care. It should be pronounced Soule, so I'm pronouncing it Soule.
Fucking weirdo.
Phonetically speaking, grammatically speaking,
yeah,
it should be pronounced...
the guy who pronounced it as amalgam for years.
What the fuck was it that you said last week? Oh, God, what the fuck was it? I totally forget.
Listen to last week's episode to find out.
Yeah, I know, right? Good plug. The issue was okay. It was kind of boring, though. Not a whole hell of a lot happened. It's a lot of playing off stuff that happened months ago and set up for stuff that you're not really sure what's going to happen yet. It's really just kind of middle of the road. Honestly, I'd rank it lower than I did Karnak, because, despite the fact that it's got beautiful, magnificent interiors, which, actually... the opening scene in Central Park with the Inhuman team, it almost looks like Lionel Yu did some interior fill-in work. It seems like it. I'm not sure if it's just me, not making sense of it, but it almost looks like McDivitt changed his styles there for a minute. So, that being said, it was okay. I wouldn't go out of your way to buy it, though. I give it a 2 out of 5, Really just kind of middle of the road, not a whole hell of a lot happened, kind of boring. Honestly, you could probably read Karnak and get more of a kick out of it. Taser. Than, reading this issue and looking for anything fun. So, yeah. That's it. That's it for me. Ben?
That is going to do it for this episode of the Mighty Warriors Theme World Podcast, because I did not talk while my mic was muted. Nope, not at all. first off, happy Halloween, because this week is it is the week of Halloweenies, and also
spooky scary.
Spooky scary skeletons. So
This Saturday.
This Saturday. Be safe.
Woohoo!
You know, eat your candy. If you're a kid listening to this, why the fuck are you listening to this? I am, to quote Charles Barkley, I am not a role model. You know, be safe.
But you can just see us coming right this year. Yay!
Yeah, actually, you know what? I've seen...
all the little black children grow up with hoodies on.
Though,
it'll be a great time had by all.
Technically, if this jacket I was going to buy fit me, because I'm a fatty, if it fit me, I would look like I was going to be cosplaying. Going in costume as Captain America, because the costume is basically his Age of Ultron, like, upper body, and the hoodie forms his mask.
Woohoo!
But it didn't fit me because I'm a fatty. And I couldn't bring it around.
Look at Taser. Just look at him.
I can't because he's invisible.
He's just some unknown entity just drifting off in the ether somewhere.
No, I have a tall, decidedly large keg buddy. Yay.
Do college dude bros like to lift you up because they think you're an actual keg?
Ladies,
dude!
Tap it!
Dude, no.
Bro, dude. Shake it, Jägermeister, bro. Anyways, don't drink too much. Know your liquor. Seriously, white girls, stop. You're embarrassing yourself when you're getting...
No. Do not stop the white girls.
No, I am telling them for their own safety.
Yeah, the best.
Also for their own embarrassment. When you're getting hauled out of the club at 10 a.m. because you've drunk too much. You
don't scream at the top of your lungs. Not even doing that.
That's not even
the girl I want to know.
Not even doing that. I'm talking about the ones that are passed out drunk. I'm talking about those ones.
I'm talking about the ones kicking and screaming. Those ones are...
No.
The ones who are looking for the next club to go to at 10 a.m.
Yes.
Where's the after
party? No, not 10 a.m. Not 10 a.m. 10 p.m. I'm talking about those ones.
Yeah, 10 p.m. the next day.
Okay, whatever. All right, just be safe. Make smart choices, you know. You know, happy Halloween. Be safe with your kids because there's pedophiles everywhere.
There's a razor blades in your candy, kids. You don't want any razor blades in your candy.
Or poison, you know, or shit like
no
that.
No razor blades.
Also, if you're the kind of person that gives out apples for Halloween, fuck you. You're an asshole. Just fuck you.
You stole my line.
I am the host, man, after all.
I like apples.
Doesn't mean shit.
Yeah, apples are fine. Apples are great. Not on fucking Halloween when I want candy.
I like apples.
I can just imagine Ben elbowing children out of the way to get to the house with the full size candy bars and being like,
"I'm actually going to work."
Fuck you!
My candy.
I need candy.
So if you want to see hear more of me, because who doesn't want to get more of the marvelous one? You can head over to twitch.tv/iggy2814, and you can watch me do live stream of video games. Those are fun. You can also head over to see those play. If you miss those, because I'm not a Twitch partner yet, you can go to youtube.com/user/BigIron2012. That is the correct username because I need 100 subscribers at least to get a custom URL. Help me make that dream come true. Get me to 100 subscribers, and I will be eternally grateful. Subscribe to my YouTube channel to see all those parts up. You can watch, you know, by at any leisure time if you can't make the live streams. Currently, I am playing The Legend of Zelda: The Minish Cap. What else am I playing? Legend of Zelda: The Minish Cap. I am playing Kirby Nightmare in Dreamland because it's who doesn't love Kirby, and he is truly the menace of Nintendo. The fucking thing is a monster. And also, by popular demand, I am playing an indie game called Undertale. So go, and the first part of that just released Sunday, so go check.
That sounds like a sexual position.
It's not. It is not. Apparently, it's a very deep moving JRPG. I don't know. I'm barely 35 minutes into it, and a certain thing happened that made me go, "What the fuck am I playing?" At the very beginning. So if that's it, I'm not gonna say anything because this game is very spoiler heavy. I don't want to spoil anything. Just go watch it. Please watch my.
Is it butt sex?
No, it's not butt sex. It is not butt sex. There's no sexual.
Okay.
That comes on the late night live stream with Mr. Dragon. Things get steamy.
Also, on that same YouTube channel, you can check out my current playthrough You want sexiness? Go check out my current playthrough. That's four parts in. That new part just uploaded today, as of this recording, uploaded Monday. Go check out my playthrough of Bayonetta 2, which I'm having a lot of fun with. So that's uploading. And by the time this episode's out, another episode will be in. So go check all that. Go watch all the things. Also, thegreenlanterncore.com for all my Green Lantern goodness. And go watch me rip apart go read a review where I rip apart a Green Lantern issue in the worst way I possibly could. Anything else, guys, before we wrap? Anything?
Girls. Start writing to an old man.
Well.
And Kamen Rider sucks.
And also the Black Whopper is disgusting.
It's not disgusting.
Visually, it's disgusting.
Visually, it's interesting. Taste-wise, it's lame.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Brian, anything to say?
Let the white girls do the slutty outfits, man.
All right.
Just let them do the slutty outfits.
We will see you all next week for a very special turkey edition of the Mighty War. I don't fucking... Let's get out of here.
We'll be on a sugar high from Halloween. That's what we'll be.
The archive is dead. Long live the archive. Hail Hydra.
I hate everyone. I hate everyone.